Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JenniLanda.com, that's JenniLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed. From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. Now it's time for a Spotlight Star Wars with your host, Ken Knapsack.
All right, Spotlight Star Wars fans, let's get right to it. I am dying to have this conversation because I've been having it with this guest over text message this last month. And it was one of those things when you're, a friend with someone in LA, at some point, one of you says, hey, we should talk about this on a podcast. And I was like, well, I got the perfect place. Please welcome back to the Force Center podcast feed, my friend, writer, comedian, and all-around scoundrel, Joe Ruggiero. Joe, welcome back to Fort Knox.
All-around scoundrel. I like that. I'm putting that on my new business card at work.
Yeah, well, good. Congratulations on a recent promotion. Truly moving up in the galaxy and new business cards there. Are they white? Are they off-white? Are they cream? What are they?
Actually, I went purple. I'm crazy. Wow. I'm living it up.
The Mace Windu of business cards. Joe Ruggiero.
Exactly.
So, hey, as the title of this episode will probably tell you, we're going to talk about the Star Wars prequels. And yes, we love the prequels here at Force Center because, we created the hashtag prequelist. And yes, I say we created. I was the first to mumble it out years ago. It's on a T-shirt. But I love seeing people use it because it does not just belong to us. It's a vibe. It's a belief here at Force Center. And we're going to talk about him today, which is, again, not new. But here's the wrinkle. My friend Joe Ruggiero, I've known for years. We're in the decades of friendship, Joe. How does that ring in your ears?
We are. We've known each other for 15 years now.
That's craziness. I helped Joe.
Our friendship is a sophomore in high school.
That's right. It grows up and it grows up and it grows up, our friendship.
It does.
Context, for whatever reason, not that you need it on a Star Wars podcast, but I helped Joe get into stand-up comedy, and then Joe helped bring me back into stand-up comedy the one time I did come back and then retired again, and then Mark Ellis drugged me back into it. So Joe and I go way back, but one of the connective threads, other than just at the time, Joe is married now, and I am in a happy, healthy relationship. At the time, Joe and I were connected by two things, loneliness and Star Wars. Right, Joe?
Yeah. Yeah. Which sometimes go hand in hand, but you know.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. But we are part of a generation that Joseph Scrimshaw is part of as well. Jennifer Landon too. And that is the generation that went into the prequels in 1999 with a lot of enthusiasm and came out of them, even going as far as 2005, with some dubious feelings. And we talk about how we work through them. And here at Force Center, we dive into the themes and we really appreciate them. And we legitimately love these films, faults and all. Warts and all, and there are plenty, but we love these films and they're Star Wars and we celebrate Star Wars here. But what this is interesting to me is this conversation started happening over text. And Joe, is it fair to say you have gone through a giant sea change of a transition here from that generation that didn't like them to now you watch them on your own accord and you text them and you said, I think I have a new appreciation for the Star Wars prequels.
That's a direct quote. I'm a believer. I wasn't for a very long time. I was always in the camp of, I thought Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones in particular were, I believe I've even described them both as hot garbage.
Yeah, that's right.
At the very least, I liked Revenge of the Sith enough not to totally dump on it. But even with that, you know, I sort of always said it was good enough that they sort of stuck the landing mostly, but like that was as good as I would give any of them. And again, yeah, Phantom Menace, I'd be like, I'd hear you and Scrimshaw, you know, speaking their virtues, and I just think you're out of your mind and why are you saying these lies about this terrible movie. But I rewatched them. This is probably a month and a half ago. Yeah. Right. Sort of on a whim. Mm. It wasn't even a thing where I consciously said, like, I think I should revisit the prequels. I was literally just flipping through every streaming service I have and got to Disney Plus, was like, okay, screw it. I'm watching the prequels. And I started watching Phantom Menace, and like halfway, I think I texted you halfway through. I was like, I think I'm coming around to this movie. Like they're good. They're good movies. They're not, again, warts and all. There are still warts. I certainly still retain some of the criticisms that I had way back in 99 when I stood in line for I don't even know how long for the midnight showing in Westwood with two of my buddies, and came out of it going, what was that? But I actually genuinely like them now. It's a little confusing.
This is great. I love that you're confused. Let's go back though. Yeah. Let's go back to that night in Westwood. Yours was in Westwood.
Yeah.
Midnight showing. I was asleep getting excited because in the morning I woke up early to go see it over in Winnetka, California, Pacific Theaters 20 over there. You saw it in Westwood.
Oh, yeah.
So glamorous life that you lead over there in Westwood at the time.
I'm a fancy boy.
You're a fancy boy. Back to that night, and we've all talked. Adam Witt and I had a conversation recently. Adam Witt of the Movie Guys and Joseph and I have talked about it too. And any that generation, like it's hard to maybe fully explain the expectations one would have going into that. There's been documentaries about it. Everyone knows. We talk about it on podcasts, but I want to know, what were you thinking in line at Westwood that night?
It's probably even still the most excited I've been for a new movie. And you know me, like I enjoy movies, but I'm not a film guy. I'm not a, you know, so it's not like I'm one who just every movie that comes out, it becomes a part of my life or anything. But for this, I was so excited. My friends and I were just giddy. And I think a lot of it was because we were the generation who, I believe I was taken to see Return of the Jedi when I was 4, but I don't have a memory of it. So I didn't So I have no visual of the original trilogy in the theaters. The soonest I saw those were the special editions my senior year of high school, and those troubled me. But but you know, this was new Star Wars,
right?
And so we were just so excited because we were like, this is going to be our original Star Wars. Yeah, you know, we were going to have that sort of life changing moment here with this movie, and it was going to just be the best thing ever, and blah blah blah. And then there was a weird Yoda puppet, and
yeah,
it's like, what's a Trade Federation? What?
Yeah. Yeah, now that Yoda puppet no more. That's what I want to talk about. And this is, and I love having this. I think this is the context and the realistic context. And it makes where you are now even that much more fun to talk about. But I've always addressed the early on. I mean, we're talking when Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon on the Radiant Seven are being, you know, and the first time you see Newt Gunray and they're talking about landing, like that's two minutes into the movie, maybe, is the first time I went, something feels different. How soon for you?
I think literally when I saw the words Trade Federation in the crawl, I was just like, what? Wait, what?
Government things? Policies?
Yeah. What is this? What's happening? And then, yeah, they started talking. I'm like, are these the bad guys? What is this?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that was a part of it, just because they do have their own kind of vibe, and it is different from the originals. Granted, part of it is because they're, you know, 20 years later, but yeah, I think it didn't take long for me to be like, well,
right. Yeah, well, and look, here's the thing, and I've talked to about, I saw it 8 times in the theater, Phantom Menace we're talking about, and mm-hmm. and I acting on some levels, you know, a roommate at the time was like, oh no, this is great stuff, let me talk. And he was laying out some political stuff and real world history. And I remember getting really excited. And then I turned away from that. I was embarrassed. My other friends were like, it's horrible. I just got peer pressured into not that I got peer pressured out of like, oh, I liked it, I better not. But I got peer pressured out of looking deeper into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you and I are talking about, I think, is a testament to what George really did do, which is from the word go, the opening crawl, Star Wars, Episode One, The Phantom Menace, yay. So there's a trade dispute going on. It was a gear shift that he's like, this is what I'm doing, and you're going to either come on board now or you'll get there later or maybe never. I don't care. I'm doing it. And that's what you and I were feeling.
Yeah. And I think there are, when you really look at them, that there are just more layers to the prequels than there are the original trilogy. There's more going on. And I think that's sort of when you've watched that original trilogy as many times as we, and I'm sure every other Star Wars fan in existence has, your brain goes, this is what Star Wars is. And so then when you're presented with something that is also Star Wars, but it's different, you're like, wait, hold on, time out. Wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah,
but
go ahead.
But then, you know, I think with repetition and perhaps distance, you kind of, I think you can really get into all of it. And it's there's a lot of interesting stuff going on.
I liken to it. I often, you know, and you and I are pro wrestling fans. We can throw that way too, but also,
in
music, like it is the original trilogy. Cause when you say there's more layers and more going on in the prequels, I really fully agree with you there, because I look at the original trilogy as three great radio hits, and the second one a little darker, and it was a darker song, but they're arena rock, they're radio singles, and you get it and you hear the chords and the chorus and the hook and the bridge, and you're humming and you're singing along the rest of your life. And then the band releases its next album, and there's some jams, and there's a song that's, you know, it's like Springsteen releasing The Ghost of Tom Joad, and you're like, where's Born to Run? And then you kind of slowly, the melodies start to hit you, the notes start to hit you. And I think that's what I keep preaching about, even now with the sequel era and everything. Just like, hey, go listen to the song again. Go listen to it again. You might find yourself tapping your toe.
Yeah, this is George's concept record.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is the first couple ones were, you know, maybe a Green Day, a Dookie, yeah, if you will, and then the prequels are Rush. And
I've had a long conversation with the Black Series Rebel guys on their Star Wars, when they were doing just Star Wars shows, of just like, we've gone from the Weezer Blue album to Pinkerton, and this, yes, is the shift.
Yes. That's perfect. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The original trilogy is the Blue album. That's brilliant. Trilogy is the Blue album, and the prequels are Pinkerton. That's outstanding.
There you go. And you're singing. Yeah. You sing along to Buddy Holly, and the next thing you know, you're like, oh, let me talk about the merits of El Scorcho down the line.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. And kudos to George. So you mentioned, like, again, you know, you were on Jedi Alliance too. You've been on Force Center and mm-hmm, you know, you and I have a respect for each other. We're also comics, and we'll take a swipe at each other out of love. So you thought it was a crazy person probably sitting there talking about, let me tell you about what's good about the prequels then.
Yeah, I thought, you know, you're just kind of being not that you're a hipster. I would never, I would never mistake you for a hipster, but you were doing that thing where, like, you know, everybody else hates this thing, I'm going to like it.
Right.
You know, that I'm going to be that contrarian who's like, well, actually, the problem is that you just don't understand it. You see, if you actually view it as blah, blah, blah. And I just, because I saw Phantom Menace twice in the theaters, mm-hmm, that first night, and then I saw it again kind of a week later because I needed to verify that that is what I had seen the first time.
Garbage. I'm going to go step in the garbage again just to make sure.
I'm going to step on it again. And then I think I only saw Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith once a piece, mm-hmm, in the theaters. And then honestly, I didn't really watch either of them again until I think Force Awakens was going to come out.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I should probably rewatch these. But even that rewatching, I was like, yeah, these still kind of suck. I remember saying this, I think to my wife, who didn't care, but I think I was like, you know, they still suck, but they suck less than I remember from when I first saw them. So it sort of started then, but even then I would still be like, they're still bad. And anytime every time I've been on Jedi Alliance or any show, you know, if the prequels come up, you and Joseph have always kind of made a point to say, we're believers in the prequels. And I was always, even if I didn't say anything, just in my mind, I was rolling my eyes at you and judging you harshly, but I take it back.
And it's fair. You know, and look, and that's LA. You gotta grit your teeth and get through a podcast without telling the host that you hate them. I understand. It's the business. No, I know what you mean. And regarding to the hipster thing, I'm anything but hip, but yeah, there could sometimes, you don't want it. Joseph and I even will talk. We'll even talk here. We don't want to get too grumpy and go down the other path. We don't want to be the ones saying you're not up to speed with us. That's not fair. That's not the way we want to celebrate Star Wars. We get frustrated because we do think we're hearing some notes that others don't want to hear. And it's how we communicate that. And we fail sometimes. We absolutely fail. So I know what you're feeling. You know, and look, I'm a guy who wouldn't watch The American Office for many years because I was like, excuse me, I watched The British Office.
Thank you. Ricky's not on it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I've been there. I understand it. I understand what you mean, where sometimes you can be like, are these nutballs that really think that Jar Jar Binks is okay? And it's fair. Yeah. And I think fair to talk about it, you know.
Speaking of Jar Jar, I had a funny moment when I was rewatching Phantom Menace. I don't know how I managed this, but I literally forgot that Jar Jar existed. Like, there was no, like, in my decision to watch Phantom Menace and then leading up to it, there wasn't anything in my brain where I was like, oh yeah, but Jar Jar. I was kind of, it was like I blocked him, and then he showed up on the screen and I was like, oh god, that's right, Jar Jar's a thing. Like, I actually somehow completely forgot his existence until I was rewatching the movie and then was reminded of him. But
yeah,
I'll tell you something.
But ..
He's got a couple really good lines.
There you go.
He's kind of funny. The part when they're going through the core and he's like, When say you think we're going to be in trouble? That's a funny line.
It is. Underrated comedy. We've been watching some of the Jar Jar stuff on Clone Wars here, and it's like and it, look, my respect for Ahmed Best is through the roof, and what he went through and Jake Lloyd went through is another conversation. But yeah.
Oh yeah, and I'll tell you, watching it, and I hadn't even realized until I kind of rewatched this most recent time what Jake had gone through and still does. Mm-hmm. Once I kind of remembered, like, oh right, Jar Jar's in this, and then as it was kept going, I did start thinking to myself, like, God, I really feel bad for Ahmed Best. Like, that's good Lord, just the, because I was thinking of how excited he was to get this part and be a part of this movie, and then the entire world took a dump on him.
Yeah,
and they still do. And I was awful.
I think in the Star Wars community, it's changed, obviously, in his involvement with the game show and his appearance at Star Wars Celebration 20. I think it's changing. I think he's feeling it. Yeah. And that's actually interesting, too, for those listening. Like, Joe has managed to do something that I sometimes am envious of. You're a big Star Wars fan who does not roll around in the fandom, so to speak.
Oh, I completely detached myself from all fandom, and it's the best decision I ever made, and I'm never going back. I can't because I know if I start again, it's just gonna, everything was like Last Jedi. After that, I was just like, nope, I'm done. Cut the cord. Yeah. I will talk to you. I'll talk to Joseph. I will talk to friends someday when we're all allowed to hang out again, I will talk to you in person and revel in Star Wars, but I will absolutely stay as far away from the online fandom community as I can, because absolutely not.
First of all, don't assume that I'm letting you back over to my house even in normal times. So that's a big assumption.
That's fair. That's fair. Can my wife come over and bring me?
Yeah, well, you can wait in the car. She can hang out with us at the fire pit, talk about ghost adventures and all that kind of stuff. You got to stay out.
That works. That's fine.
Before I do, want to get to the actual story here. I want to see what started to click and where this came very, very organically. And one of the reasons I bring up, because you had mentioned, it sounds like maybe you had not been tracking. You know, this past year, Ahmed Best really, after his suicide attempt, kind of that story came out that back in 2005 or whatever it was, you know, he almost killed himself, and just kind of was a screeching halt on some of the conversations. And now you're just dealing with a human being. Yeah. I think it's been great, but I mentioned that because you are wonderfully detached from some of the conversations, which fuels into you. You're not looking around and going, well, people are tweeting about the prequels, I think I'll give it a shot. You just sat down, like you said, and started into it. But I want to talk about the intervening years real quick here. And the vibe, the feel, you know, like what it was to just openly slag on these films and still call yourself a fan and just kind of the vibe atmosphere, that was a different time. The internet, you know, we're on MySpace posting a blog about it. It's a different thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that contributed to a lot of our generation holding on to this and not letting us find any joy with these films. I don't think that's talked about a lot. Where, again, I've talked about how I had everyone kind of liked Revenge of the Sith, as you said. That one was, but I kind of had a lot of things I used to secretly love about Attack of the Clones, but I felt I couldn't say it. It was that old high school peer pressure thing. Did you experience it as well? Like, again, I know you weren't watching them, but it's like, it was accepted. Oh, you want to talk about Star Wars? Let's slag on the prequels.
Yeah, that was, I mean, and certainly sort of in the circles I ran in, because as you well know, before you and I kind of became friends, I'm the nerd in my group. You know, I'm the hey Joe, what's a Hawkman? anytime the prequels did come up, it was just they're terrible. Why would you watch them? Yeah. Let's all talk about how great the original was, and because we've all just had our flags planted in the original trilogy is gospel, and it is sacred, and anyone who suggests that anything else could possibly be as good or on its level or be a part of its universe, I will fight you.
Yeah.
I could not understand how anyone would like the prequels, Star Wars fan or no. I just like, these are, they're just bad. They're just bad.
And
I admit it was because I, you know, and obviously in hindsight, I'm thinking it's because I didn't really give them much of a shot because I think, you know, what we were all sort of hoping and expecting when we went in was that, that, you know, magical, you know, the choir starts singing and the heavens open and life finally has meaning moment that we all had when we first saw Star Wars for the very first time. And it didn't happen with the prequels. And so it's kind of like, well, then what's the point?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think now with hindsight and everything, it's like, well, but they can also be good Star Wars movies.
Yeah. And like also
that can happen.
We are in the theater and that's what we, you know, the, like you said, the moment did not, I did not hit the notes well on that. That was me choking on a donut. That moment didn't happen for us. And our generation did not allow for the fact that the 7-year-old two rows over from us did experience that. And we just couldn't comprehend. We wouldn't allow ourselves to think that.
Well, because Star Wars is mine,
right?
Yeah, it's ours, and we don't like to share. And if we don't have that magical moment, then clearly it's wrong. But it's good to see that everyone's gotten over that.
It's good to see that Star Wars fans have just calmed down and allow for everyone to have different experiences and bring their own perspectives to Star Wars. It's so great.
It's refreshing. It's refreshing to see that everyone has really just gotten, you know, it's just so much positivity and it was like, we're all a part of this.
We all grew up together. All right, let's talk about this. So you're flipping along. I get it. I, it's a Friday night. You're bringing up the old streaming services. You and the wife, just like me and Grace, or do we watch another 7 episodes of Ghost Adventures with Zach and the team, or do you watch something else? So you bring up Star Wars. You text me about halfway through. What was it? Can you pinpoint a moment, a feeling, just clouds parted? You had a moment. Like, what was it? Is there a specific thing?
I honestly think after kind of the whole first part where you know they're on the ship and then the negotiations were brief and then they're on the planet and they're running and the Jar Jar, and I was just sort of like, this is fun. I'm having fun. Like I think it was somewhere even at probably around the planet core scene where they're going through. Kind of at that point I was like, I'm actually into this. I'm enjoying this.
That's great.
And I was like, I don't know what this means or if it's, and then I was just sort of like, is this going to last? Am I going to keep liking this? And the whole way through. I mean, again, there are certainly still some pitfalls, but no, it's just, I was like, wow, I like this. This is fun. It's a fun movie. And and it's just, I was seeing layers that I had never seen before. Even though now obviously I see it coming from a mile away, the Amidala reveal was so well done. Where she finally reveals that Padme is the queen and there were all these the stand-ins and what else I really like. I'll tell you this. I think if nothing else, the prequels are the Palpatine story.
Yeah.
And it's told brilliantly.
Yeah. That's where
I know it's framed as Anakin's origin story, but if you look at it as Palpatine, it's brilliant.
Oh yeah. And it pulls you in and you oddly find yourself intrigued by the old evil space wizard that you're supposed to hate and should hate.
Yeah. And he's just, he's in everyone's ear and he's just pulling the strings and it's just so well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm right there with you on that there too. All right. So you're halfway through Phantom Menace. You text your old crazy friend Ken and he's just like, great. Like so happy. Yeah. What took so long? Jerk. Yeah.
You remember what you texted me word for word. That's cute.
Yeah. There you go. you get to the end of the Phantom Menace, and which again has a lightsaber fight that everyone can generally agree. Yeah, I liked that. There's a lot of things, you know. And it's
Duel of the Fates is so good.
I mean,
could just listen to that.
Yeah, it was. It was a single. It was a rock single, for God's sakes. Mm-hmm. And there was an MTV video. So that's there. So I get it, and the feeling's there, and Boss Nass holds up the peace orb and says, and everything's happy. And the Augie Bonzo Doodog band plays. I always forget the name of the great Gungan band at the end.
Don't expect me to tell you.
I wouldn't want you to. The movie ends. What's the thought? What makes you keep going? Were you just like that? I must have had too much to drink, hard day at work, and I'm just not in the right mind. What do you think?
I realized there was some possibility to that, but no, I think I started having these reflective thoughts that, you know, we've been talking about, of just like, wow, I should have been watching this movie more often over these years, and I really didn't give it its due, and. Mm-hmm. And then my OCD kicks in. It was like, well, now you have to keep watching the rest of the trilogy because you've watched this one, so you can't not watch the other two.
Right.
That's insanity. I kept expecting it to end, like, for some voice to come back and be like, no, dude, these are still terrible. You're going to a weird place. But that didn't happen. No, I genuinely just, it stuck.
What, looking ahead in the time we have remaining here, talking about Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith. Again, Revenge of the Sith, I imagine by that point, you're like, all right, this has happened. But also I remember liking this more. That's easy. But Attack of the Clones, again, for me, has some of the stuff I struggle with the most, but you get there. What is there anything just the layers are rolling out in front of you, the Palpatine story, the Georgeness of it all. What about Attack of the Clones? You're like, oh yeah, no, this is happening to me.
I think part of it, cause I also remember at the time, one of my biggest peeves about it was how it was so CGI.
Mm-hmm, but right.
Now in 2020, I don't think I'm allowed to criticize a movie for doing that anymore, because that's all of them. And so, you know, that's not as much of a thing. It's not so much of a negative thing anymore. Cause I mean, look at all of these other great movies that make so much use of CGI that, you know, you can't criticize Attack of the Clones for being too CGI and then be like, but Endgame is great. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, no,
yeah, totally.
That just doesn't hold water anymore. But yeah, that was the one that I remembered the least. So I actually really just felt like I was watching it almost for the first time in a lot of scenes.
Yeah.
You know, like there was some scene where Obi-Wan's just on this cliff with his speeder and R2 like sending a signal. And I'm like, I don't remember any of this.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And yeah, there were just these scenes coming out where I'm like, this is what's happening.
Truly seeing it again for the first time, and probably then now you're hearing the notes.
And again, I'm seeing like the layers and like his journey to figure out, you know, what's going on, who are these clones, where's this Jedi, what's a Jango Fett, you know, the whole part on Kamino is so cool. I remembered, you know, my big why I was so dismissive of it was like, oh, it was just this silly CGI nonsense. And now it's like, yeah, but actually, no, it's a pretty well done movie. Anakin's still sort of really creepy and comes on a little too strong.
Sure.
And probably needs to take it down a notch. Yeah. But if you don't get pumped when Yoda walks in and pulls out his lightsaber and is like, bring it on, Dooku. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
was there a moment going back to 02 or 05? Again, Sith's hard to include in the conversation because, like I said, everyone kind of admits, I like a lot of that. But you mentioned the Yoda Dooku moment. I have said sometimes very happily and sometimes kind of frustrated of, hey, man, I was there, man. I was at the theaters when everyone applauded, and to suddenly hear that wasn't cool, and it messed with my mind a little bit later on. It would get me, and then in my head, as I'm still quote unquote hating the prequels, or quote unquote, maybe I didn't hate them. I was just like disappointed. But again, I didn't allow myself to take that step towards the joy. That Yoda Dooku fight, which is not the best lightsaber fight of all of them, but it's a great one. In terms of a pop, talk about wrestling. It's such a pop crowd when Yoda does the run in there. I mean, you did you experience that then and just sat on it and just said, I can't, no, I've already determined these, nothing's going to take me down from believing I don't like these.
I think if I ever said something nice about Attack of the Clones, it was, well, that Yoda fight scene was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be, you know, that was the exception to the rest of the movie, which was terrible. Yeah. So it was always just, there were these little moments in each of them that's like, okay, yeah, that was cool. But for the most part, boo. Whereas now taking into a whole, and also I think being older and also sort of being able to reexamine even just the original trilogy and sort of seeing some of the holes there, like, you know, they aren't, I mean, obviously they are classics and sacred, but there's some stuff.
There's some things
there. I it's only over the last few years that I've realized just what a whiny little turd Luke Skywalker is in the first one. Like, oh my God, he's so annoying. Like, just stop whining. But that's a whole other rabbit hole. But you know, I think just really, I think I was just in a mindset where I was like, I'm going to forget everything I've ever thought. I'm going to ignore everything I've ever heard. I'm just going to watch these movies and just experience them and go from there. And in that mindset, I was able to be like, you know, they're good. They have a lot to offer. I keep coming back to that concept record analogy. There's a lot more notes being played, but a lot of them are good. Some of them are a little off key, but some of them are good.
There's still the notes. Yeah. So you finish all the movies and we've been texting and everything. And I want to know you, I mean, again, you're a 80s kid. You are this, you grew up, I'm a couple years older as my gray and my beard will tell you, but we are the same. We're the same generation. We are the same.
Yeah.
I'm 7 when I'm seeing Return of the Jedi in the theater. You're 4. That I still grew up with a mostly VHS. Like, you know what I mean? That's most of my experience is with it, if I'm being honest.
I had the VHS box set, and I now have the DVD non-special edition box set, which I will take to my grave because it's glorious.
Yeah. So now, as a fan now, as we start to wrap up this interview here, where are you at now, man? How does this make you feel as a longtime Star Wars fan? To maybe be more fully connected than you ever have before. Again, not that you're not podcasting 7 hours a week. You've made better life decisions than I have. Kidding, I love Force Center. You're all the best. but you know what I mean? Like, how does it feel? What does it feel like now to be just fully connected to what's going on?
It's good because, you know, there's more to experience. And, you know, because they were always just sort of the the black sheep of the Star Wars world. And, you know,
you invited them to the wedding. You just didn't go talk to them at the table.
Yeah. And just like, all right, we're here. We'll put them at the table in the back.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do a quick, we'll wave to them from the table next to it, but we aren't going to go over and talk to them.
Well, wait a minute. That was me at your wedding. I was at that table. Wait a second.
I didn't want to bring that up, but we'll talk later. it's awesome because anytime I've ever done like a Star Wars rewatch, when I had to do the prequels, it was a chore, and now I'm sure I will voluntarily watch the prequels just out of fun, because again, now I sort of want to feel like I would need to make up for lost time and kind of really try to get to know them on the same level that, I mean, obviously it'll always be different because of when I, you know, came to experience all these things, but still just be, you know, have them really be as a part of my Star Wars canon, to use to use lingo that's hip. No, it's good. I'm very glad I did. I honestly, even on a very minor level, feel slightly ashamed for have taken so long, but yeah, whatever. I get over that part very quickly.
Okay. I know you, there's a lot more things in your life to be ashamed of.
I'm lying by myself right now. Come on.
That's not it. I love what you just said. I love the way you phrase it, like getting, you know, now you're going to get to know them better. Like you've sat down at the table and you're like, tell me about you. Prequels. Mm-hmm. Tell me about you.
Tell me who you are. Share your story with me.
I love that. I love hearing you use that. But this is all I have cited you, I think, sometimes by name, sometimes just in generalities. I can say I'm not drinking wine at home alone. often my tongue does not do what I want it to do. Giggity. Solo's an example.
Yeah.
Movie I love. And you, I remember it came up, you know, life's busy. We're not seeing each other every week, like in the stand-up days or when we're single days. I get that. But yeah, at some point, long after the movie had come out, you're like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
It was a victim of the news cycle, and fan reaction. I was like, I don't feel a need to, but then you'll be proud of me. I ended up watching it and that's a fun movie. I liked it.
There you go.
I want to watch that one more because, you know, now I've only seen it once. So I don't remember.
I would cite that as an example. And again, this is part of why I understand Solo as a Star Wars movie. We just covered Alden Ehrenreich in the news recently on Force Center talking about, like, look, it didn't do well for a Star Wars movie, and there's, you know, the budget was part of that, but it did well for a movie. And that's just you were an example of someone who, again, like, you named your cat Lando, you grew up with Star Wars, prequel stuff aside, you still were a Star Wars fan, you wear the t-shirts, I know you, you know, I've been to conventions with you, you're a Star Wars fan, and you didn't see it. And so that does show me that, yeah, there was a marketing failure there, the news cycle, you said, and then there, that's part of it is the way you talk about these films. It doesn't mean that you can't like them. I just, the railing on it from a negative point of view does rob joy from others who might experience the joy if they allow
it. Because that's the thing. Like, you just want to watch a movie. Like, at the end of the day, you just want to watch a movie and you hope it's good. But a lot of the criticism and the things that come out over these movies are just so much more and make things so much more complicated than they need to be. And it's exhausting. And I think that was part of it where I was like, I don't even want to get into it because I didn't want to watch the movie. And because then I would have an opinion on it. And then I'd have to be like, okay, so how do I really feel about it? You know, I didn't want to do it. But thankfully, I ended up, you know, enjoying it. And I wasn't, but also, even if I hadn't, I would have gotten over it quickly because they're movies. Like, at the end of the day, it's just a movie. But,
dare you suggest that?
I know. Sorry. You can edit that out, right?
I'm going to leave your sins in for all to see. I love that. No, it means a lot. You know, I get what you're saying. Like,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, that's definitely it. So, I love to hear it. Please. I definitely think you should spend some more time with that there, but I just think it's an interesting perspective and I love having you come here to Force Center to talk about it,
I'm glad to be here. And we are all in agreement that Rogue One is amazing, right? There's no one, because I'll fight somebody for that.
There you go. No, I think, obviously. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but there's a case
where
I can go, yeah, you know, there's some things in the, I don't know, the second act sometimes can, but, you know, I connect to the emotions and the feels before the deep themes and Joseph and I dig in and all those kind of things. I love doing that. But I always said, like, I love that you said that, Joseph, you're Joe, that's Joseph. love that you said that, Joe, because that does wrap up this so well. It goes back to that. It goes back to me in 99, you in 99. And yes, the notes were different, but there was things in there that we probably went, oh yeah, but I like that. And we didn't allow that. We didn't allow that to happen, where we don't connect to the emotional stuff first, because that's what Star Wars should do. And Rogue One did that, and for me and for a lot of people. And then I started on the second viewing, because, you know, there again, there's going to be things in every movie where you go, oh, maybe that, this and that and that. But you start hearing the stories. And the first time I saw Rogue One, I'm like bawling my eyes out of joy.
balls.
One of my friends yells that a lot, so maybe that's what I thought. Well, you know.
I know that friend.
Yeah, Logan X. You know, my emotion. And then by the second one, I was like, oh, well, wait a minute. The reshoots. How come that scene wasn't in there? The behind the scenes stuff. Oh, and you start dumping all that stuff into your head. And then the second time you see it, you don't allow yourself to connect to that joy. And that, to me, looking back for my generation, your generation, was part of the battle with the prequels. Doesn't mean, you know, as Adam Witt said here in Force Center recently with us, you know, movies, a lot of things. And some of the things can be less than the others, but it's a lot of things, and find the things you love. And that's what I love. And so I'm glad you brought that up. Just my personal experience with Rogue One and your unmitigated joy for it. So I love it, man. Thank you for sharing your Star Wars story. That's what we love doing here at Force Center. And I'm so glad that we can have a prequel party when this
Hell
is
yeah.
over. We'll do it.
Yeah. Maybe. Dude, you got a nice sized backyard. Let's set up a projector. Have a little.
We could do that, or I was going to say, maybe you and I could just get some lightsabers and reenact some lightsaber fights. What people, namely our wife, your wife, my girlfriend, stares at us and wants to join in. Grace is a better sword fighter than me. I think maybe you and I should just do that. What do you think?
I love that idea. I might have to stay at your place after that because my wife will leave.
Oh, okay.
She'll just leave. She won't leave me, but she'll leave. She'll be like, you guys do that. I'm going to go home.
Well, we'll work on it.
you try working on it. I gave up a while ago.
You didn't give up on Star Wars. You didn't give up on
I never will.
I love it. I love it, my friend. Thanks for coming back to Force Center. I love hearing about you, your Star Wars adventures. Love checking in with you here. I always say, you know, this is the point where they can follow you, but you're not, you're not playing the social media game that much, you know?
Nope.
God bless you for it.
Yeah, no, listen, if they want to try to add me on Instagram, I might, if they don't look too weird, but I probably won't. So just live your life, people. You live your life, I'm going to live mine. Watch the prequels.
There you go. You heard it there from Joe Ruggiero. All right. Thanks to everyone. Listen here, a special bonus episode of Spotlight Star Wars. If you want to join the conversation, just go to @ForceCenterPod on Twitter. Use #ForceCenter or the #SpotlightStarWars. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're putting up new videos there, more content over there. You can always go get merch at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. And don't forget, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/ForceCenter. But as I always say, the best way to support, just give us a like, a subscription, a rate, a review, all those things where they apply. All right. Thanks again to Joe Ruggiero. Thanks to George Lucas for those prequels. We'll see y'all next time here on Spotlight Star Wars.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites. putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.